Today on Real Radio.
But the value of history is this. History is his story to us. And you know the old saying, for those who don't know history will be bound to repeat it. You only lick that hot iron once. You'll never do it twice. A child that has burned their fingers on an oven, they'll never do it a second time. Why? History.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher presents a mini-series which is important this time of year. Because we're at the beginning of the fall semester, we temporarily step away from our series through the Gospel of Luke and deliver a collection of messages called Being a Christian While on Campus. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Sciences do not support evolution. Is evolution consistent with the observable universe? No, it's not. In fact, we're telling you and encouraging you, don't miss that Wednesday night. I forget when it is, but you don't forget. That's going to be an awesome night. You're going to see the glory of God in the heavens, courtesy of the Hubble telescope, the Humble. I think it's humbliness more than hubbliness. Well, listen, what about creationism? What about the creation of God? Is it true? Or the creation of the universe and all material matter by God? Is it true? Well, there must be overwhelming evidence to back up the creation claim. You have to apply the same rules. When a teacher says to you, evolution's true, you need to say, can you explain something? Define that. How did it come about? And when they start talking about, well, one has to believe that. No. Don't come walking up to me with your interpretation of science. If you're going to cut into my belly and take out my spleen or whatever you're going to rip out, I want you to know your stuff. Don't come to me with a theory. Well, I think your kidney's right about over here. Oh, no, maybe it's on this side. Get out of my room. There must be overwhelming evidence to back up creation's claim. Well, listen. The Bible announces that God created. Number one, the supposition is this, that God is a designer and a creator. He calls himself the creator. What attributes does a creator have? The ability to have concept, design, idea, to put those things together and to not only assemble and produce something, which all takes reason and logic. It takes a creator to drive a Mercedes-Benz. It takes a creator to fly an airplane. It takes a creator to wear the clothes you're wearing. Everything that you and I have observable in this world screams creator designer. If it's the blade of grass to the glasses sitting on your nose, they could not exist without a creator. Logic dictates that. So where's the evidence? The evidence is the blade of grass is more complex than the space shuttle that just launched this week. We can make a shuttle, but we can't make grass. It's amazing. Well, is creation a fact or theory? By the evidence of science, creation becomes a fact. Because you cannot point to me anything out in this world that has evolved. But Pastor, there's things, you know, when you take a frog and from the desert and you put it into an aquarium where it's slimy and wet, the frog grows, it drops its thumbs. This is a true story, you know. Are you guys with me? The thumbs fall off on the frog, on the male frog, only the male, by the way. Apparently the frog does not live in California. The thumbs fall off and it grows a hook, like a bird, like a cat claw. The desert frog gets into a wet tank, drops its thumbs, grows some hooks, and gets on top of the female and makes little frogs. Okay? People will say, that's evolution! You silly person, you. You might have thought so until you take the DNA out of that frog and find out that written in the DNA code of that frog is the ability, when it's in a moist environment, to drop its thumbs and grow some hooks. to propagate the race. Here's evolution, that the frog gets kissed by Mrs. Frog, and that frog turns into a prince and comes to Calvary Chapel. That's evolution. Variation within the species. Listen, this is a big deal in evolution. Is, oh, look at this. No, wait a minute. We know in Papua New Guinea, we know that when the rains come, very, very heavy rains during the winter, that when the springtime comes, all the finches grow huge beaks. Huge beaks. And they go, evolution. And then when the rains are not so heavy and there's little growth in the grasses, their beaks remain small. They fluctuate from year to year based upon what? Based upon the level of rain, which produces what? The level of grass and seed growing. And so when there's a lot of grass, guess what God said? I'm writing in the DNA variation within the species. Just like there's black humans, white humans, yellow, red humans, tall humans, short humans, variation within the species. But you never see people walking by and then into something else. Hey, look at me. Unbelievable stuff. What's the evidence? Does creationism support all the other sciences? This is the cool part. Yep. Why? Well, why? Why? Because our God made both. That's why. Our God is God, and He made creation. He made the physical universe in complete connection with His Word. He's the engineer of them both. Good science, true, repeatable science applied to this world. Open up your Bible, open up your science together. Right on target every time. This universe is absolutely an announcement of perfect precision. Remarkable. Right now you're sitting here so comfortable. Imagine if this globe that you're sitting on moved 5 miles closer to the sun right now. You'd be burning up. 5 miles away from the sun, you'd all be freezing. God knows exactly what He's doing. Okay, listen, by the way, almost all the founding fathers of science were Judeo-Christian in their values. Did you know that? Don't believe me? Go look it up and see. Search it out and see. Almost all of the founding fathers of science were Judeo-Christian in their belief. They believed in the God of the Bible, whether they be Christians or Jews. And that's a fact. You can get books on that, by the way, regarding their faith. So class, listen, you have logic and reason on your side. If you're ever brought into that place where somebody is going to question you or talk to you about, what do you think about creation? Listen, you have logic and reason on your side. People get all hostile about God because they don't want to think about ever talking to Him or meeting Him. But I just want to say this, and this is one of those offensive statements. I believe that if you cannot consider the Creator God of the universe, you are intellectually dishonest. I'm sorry if that hurts you, but it's true. Christians, we never need to be afraid in our classrooms regarding the evidence. Because the evidence, if it's true evidence, if it's true, proved, it will bring you closer to God. Don't worry about it. Oh, we found people running around on some planet somewhere. I remember when everyone was talking about when we got close to Mars, what are we going to see? Well, first of all, if there would have been people there, they probably would have been smarter than us. They probably would have like John 3:16 waving at the camera as it flew by. God made it all. It's very important. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first verse of the Bible. You get through that verse right there, it's downhill the rest of the way. The Bible's easy after that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. For since the creation of the world is invisible, attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, or they knew about God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So here's what they do. Professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. Wow. But listen, Darwin 1:1 says, in the beginning was an accident. Everything you see is so fantastically perfect and wonderful that it had to come from a big accident. Darwin 1:2 says, God cannot be the cause and effect of creation because it doesn't fit into the way I want to think or live my life. I made that up, but it's good. Point number two tonight, history versus the creative writing of the revisionist. I know that's a long one, but history, real history. Say, I don't like history. You get older, you like history because you become part of history because you're older. History versus creative writing or the creative writing of the revisionist. Revisionism is a big deal right now. And quite frankly, suckers fall for revisionism. Suckers fall for it. Huh? There was no George Washington. Really? Wow. They just fall for it. People in authority have an agenda, they make a statement, and people without research, skills, or passion, they don't study it, and it becomes, in fact, listen, who said I can see Russia from my house? Come on, say it louder. Sarah Palin, is that what I'm hearing? Sarah Palin never said that. Did you hear that? I can see Russia from my house. Most Americans believe Sarah Palin said that. Tina Fey said it, acting like Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live. Tina Fey was mocking Sarah Palin and said, I can see Russia from my house. And then people went out on the streets and began to say, did you hear what Sarah Palin said? She said she could see Russia from her house. The only problem was Tina Fey said it, mocking Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live. And 50% of you just thought that Sarah Palin had said that. Nobody researched it to find it out. You see how dangerous this is? In this modern day age where everyone's texting back and forth and Twittering and they're emailing and they're blogging and they're Facebooking and they're MySpacing and all the stuff that goes on, what do you know is true? You can go to Wikipedia. You know Wikipedia is a big deal because it's convenient. Did you know that Wikipedia itself has a disclaimer and says this stuff may or may not be true? Did you know that? I remember talking to Brigitte Gabriel, and I said, you know, I was looking at you at Wikipedia, and I had to laugh. She goes, yeah, I was reading about me on Wikipedia. And she said, it says there that Brigitte Gabriel claims to have been born in Lebanon. Well, guess what? Brigitte Gabriel was born in Lebanon. She didn't write that piece about herself. Somebody else did. Watch out what you hear. But see, we've not taught critical thinking. And so when that's not present, there'll be the revisionism taking place that we're seeing today. I told you last week, John Adams said, facts are stubborn things. I love that. And from the world history to the birth of America to the current events of our day, politics, religion, culture are being reinterpreted through the revisionist lens, which shows everything in a crisis today and everything we need to fix because the world's blowing up any moment. And it probably is, but they've got all this stuff about how badly we need to commandeer the planet and make it work. Listen, it's worked fine before we got here. God's timepiece is perfect. We're not God. He knows what he's doing. But there's an attempt to revise God out of America. Who's doing that? The revisionist, changing history. There's an attempt to remove God out of government, out of our schools, and out of our courts. In almost every one of those areas, they've succeeded. And our kids are growing up today in a godless system with secular textbooks that make fun of God, mock Jesus Christ, and pay more attention to and more volume of information to Marilyn Monroe than George Washington. And how will Marilyn Monroe help you in life versus the incredible perseverance of a George Washington? Unless you're playing Trivia Pursuit, I guess maybe knowledge of her will help. But the value of history is this. History is his story to us. And you know the old saying, for those who don't know history will be bound to repeat it. You only lick that hot iron once. You'll never do it twice. A child that has burned their fingers on an oven, they'll never do it a second time. Why? History. Example. Oh, I love this stuff. We're not going to make it. I love this stuff. Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Benjamin, I need everybody to listen. Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Benjamin Rush, he's a hero of mine. Benjamin Franklin, all united to form the abolitionist movement to stamp out slavery. Did you know that? No, because you know what? Recently we just heard from a kid, oh man, America, what's America done for me? And all those founding fathers, bunch of slave owners. You know what? They did own slaves. It was very vogue to own slaves in Europe and in America. Were all the slave owners nice to their slaves? No. But were there slave owners who bought as many slaves as they possibly could to clothe them, feed them, and educate them, which was against the law, by the way. King George said, you educate a slave, and I'll have somebody come over to America and kill you. Did you know that? Did you know it was against the law to lead a slave to Christ? Because they didn't have the approval of the Church of England. Did you know that? So these three guys, by the way, these three honkies get together, and they say, we believe all people are equal. We've got to do something about this. I've been to Thomas Jefferson's house. I've read the writings of his slaves. Did you know this? Thomas Jefferson not only taught them how to read, he taught them how to read out of the Bible. And you learn that in a secular tour there at Monticello. Awesome. Yeah, but they owned slaves. Yes, they owned slaves. And as soon as the freedom of America was intact, they began to release those slaves. And by the way, one of Jefferson's arguments were, gosh, I would have released these people today, but they would be homeless, they would be unemployed. What do I do? By the way, he went to France and ministered as a representative for the United States of America and took half of his black staff with him and had a ball. They had a blast. It depends on who you're talking about. Just remember this. These three guys wanted to set people free. That's not what you're hearing today in our classes. Everybody's having to apologize for America and for our Judeo-Christian values. By the way, here's a test. I will answer it tonight or some other night. Where was Europe? Don't say it if you know. Where was Europe and America buying the slaves from? Who were they buying the slaves from? Don't say it. That right there will flip your wagon or lid. Example number two, what was the United States' first international war? What was the United States' first international war? By the way, a little bit of it's been America's longest running war. It's so constant that you don't even think of it as a war. The United States' first international war was in 1805. It commenced by order of President Thomas Jefferson when he launched an attack against the invasion of the Muslim Barbary pirates in North Africa in the Mediterranean Sea to free thousands of slaves that had been taken captive from their African villages. Did you know that? Did you guys learn that in school? How come? This is a big deal. Our first international war after becoming a nation was against Islamic pirate terrorists on the high seas of the Mediterranean who had took from their villages in North Africa, Africans, and took them to Alexandria, took them to Montezuma, took them to Tripoli, and sold them on the international slave market to Europe and America. Thomas Jefferson said, this is wrong, and launched an armada and sent the United States Marine Corps for their first international mission. Eight of them. Hey, don't laugh. There's only eight guys, but you know what they did? They whipped them and got those guys free. Why don't you guys know this stuff? It's available. You see, revisionists will tell you what they want you to know. American history is awesome, and God is all in it if you take the time to learn it. Example number three, who is considered to be one of the greatest scientists that America has ever produced in its history? Anybody know? You should be afraid to say something because I'm busting you on every one of these things. He wrote an almanac. He made a clock out of wood, and for 50 years, it was only 1 second off within 50 years, and he made it by hand out of wood. He is the man who designed the Beltway of Washington, D.C. He was an astronomer, a physicist. He was a farmer, a botanist, an amazing mathematician, probably the best mathematician we've ever had. His mathematician problems that he's created are, I've seen them, I've had a chance to see them in Washington, D.C., and Harvard students graduating senior year cannot solve his problems. Only a few of them have. Are you ready for this? His name's Benjamin Banneker. Anybody heard of him before? Raise your hand. Anybody? Thank God some of you have over here. What's wrong with the rest of you? These kids are over here. Benjamin Banneker. Thomas Jefferson wrote to the King of France and said, you got to have this guy over. He's brilliant. And when he showed up and stepped off the boat in France, the king freaked because Benjamin Banneker is a black man. Oh, yeah. Awesome, awesome man. By the way, I don't have the time to get into it. How you should hear how he came to Jesus. Oh, my goodness. You ever heard of the term kick the bucket? Go find out what that means regarding Benjamin Banneker's life. Oh, I wish I could tell you this. We don't have the time. I don't even have the time to quit now. We're so far behind. By the way, listen to what Thomas Jefferson said about him in a letter to him. Nobody wishes more than I do. He's writing to Benjamin Banneker, Thomas Jefferson, president. Nobody wishes more than I do that nature has given to our black brethren talents equal to those of the other colors of men, and that the appearance of the lack of them is owed merely to the degradation in the condition of their existence, both in Africa and in America. President Thomas Jefferson, isn't that awesome? It's unbelievable what's going on. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Mom and dad, it's our responsibility to teach the kids. John 8:32 says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. We're seeing everything the opposite. Point number three this evening is this. The Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. The Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. And I'm going to try to pick up the pace because if I let myself get to point five tonight, there's 10 points, but if we get to point five, there's data there that's going to flip your mind. The Christian worldview versus the secular worldview. First of all, every one of us have a worldview here tonight. You may say, what's he talking about, worldview? It's how you perceive things in this world. It goes back to point number one. Do you believe in evolution or do you believe that God created? What you believe regarding that affects the whole way you conduct yourself in life. And a secular worldview is a worldview without God and without God's restraints. I can do anything I want. Don't tell me. I'm my own person. All that stuff's true. But you also, to be a human, must be responsible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Being a Christian While on Campus. It's a temporary break from our series through Luke's Gospel because we're at the beginning of the fall semester, and so we bring to you this mini-series all this week here on Real Radio. Being a Christian While on Campus is part of Pastor Jack's greater collection of teachings called the Life and the Bible series. Being a Christian While on Campus is available to you in a two-part DVD package. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send to you the double DVD series, Being a Christian While on Campus. Just ask for it by name. More than one way to get in touch, beginning with our website, you can visit us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you'd like to do things the traditional way, you can send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.